You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness, even when Rich's microphone collapses on itself.
It's all right. I just didn't tighten it enough, but it's all right. That's okay. Why we're professionals. We're still here.
That's right. Disaster averted, people.
Done.
Woo.
Yes. Now move on to the rest of the show.
One. Yeah.
That's how I roll, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was just hilarious. I'm just sitting here, and Rich's microphone falls down. He catches it, and he's like holding onto it for dear life.
Hey, man.
He continues his intro spiel, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, man.
That's professionalism right there.
You got to be quick to react.
Now, I broke. I started laughing almost instantly, so I'm completely unprofessional.
Well, that's why we make a good team.
That's right. Exactly.
I'm the professional
It's bad when Rich is the professional one.
Yeah. I don't know what that's going to say
with his
about
Al Pacino quotes and all that other crazy stuff going on over there.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to be able to get through 2 hours of this podcast here. Well, worst case scenario is we have more sound clips to play.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
Yeah. But there you go. That's the nature of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged. You never know what's coming your way when we record the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let's get this out of the way. Happy Labor Day. Hope you guys had a good Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
What did you do with your Labor Day weekend?
Spent it with some family. We had just had a small cookout.
Okay.
You know, traditional type stuff.
Sausage!
Actually, yes, we did have sausage.
That's good. Yeah, what's the annual sausage report?
They were good. They were grilled this year.
All right,
the annual sausage report.
Yep,
it's basically any time my family gets together.
Right,
is
there sausages?
Yeah, there's always sausage.
We need to know. It's very important.
But yeah, that's what I did. Also, some sad news report over the Labor Day weekend. The pizza place that was right near my house, they picked up shop and they moved.
Oh, what are you going to do, Mike?
I'm basically, folks. I'm not going to be able to eat anymore. It's all over, guys.
This pizza shop. Literally, Mike could fall out of bed and he could probably...
I could just roll out of bed and be right there.
And now this pizza shop has closed down or moved?
It's moved.
Oh, it's moved.
Yeah, one day it was open, the next day the doors are shut and the lights are off. I'm going, uh-oh, what happened? But no, they just picked up and they moved to a larger location. You know, still just right around the corner, not too far away. But it came
but
as
how
a shock.
Are you going to get there, Mike?
I'll have
you
to drive.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Mike has
I
to
know.
Drive for food?
Oh, my God. I know. I have to get a little bit of walking in to get my food.
What is this, Bangladesh?
Oh, my gosh. A third world country over here. Unbelievable.
It's funny. This was like the first thing you guys mentioned to me when
I know.
Walked
you walked in the
house.
Door. My dad's like, oh, boy. Rich,
yeah.
I got to tell you, the pizza place closed.
Yeah. Like, it was like the most... Like, this is on par
for
national news.
You joke, but that pizza place has been there since forever. My entire life, there's been a pizza place there.
And now
there's
can't
not,
walk
yeah,
to
and,
food anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
You make light of it, but it's a big change, man. We knew those people so well. We'd go over there all the time. I mean, we still know them. It's the same people.
What are you going to do when a blizzard hits?
Well, that's really the big problem.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Every time there's a power outage or a storm, there was always food right there.
Well, you're going to have to heed the advice of our good friend Vic DiBattista, all right?
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh, my God!
It's funny. We're probably one of the few households that didn't freak out about storms.
Now you're going to.
Yeah.
Welcome to Pennsylvania.
Oh.
You bastard.
God damn it. Welcome to Pennsylvania.
Get your bread and milk.
Get your bread and milk.
So, There you go. I can't believe this was this big of a news story. Yeah,
it is a big news story.
Yeah, I walked in. Mr. Costanzo was flailing his arms. This was the big news story.
I know. Like, literally within a minute of you walking in the door.
Yeah. So, boy, man.
It's serious stuff.
He's having a very serious week between all the sausages at Labor Day and now the pizza shop closing down.
Sausages!
Yeah, it's been a trying weekend. I'll tell you that much. Yeah,
I don't know how you guys are braving this.
we're a tough. We're a tough group of people, Rich.
Wow.
But
keep strong.
Yeah, but as I struggle to keep everything held together, Rich, why don't you tell us about what you did this weekend? How did you spend Labor Day?
I had a pretty fun weekend. 2 weeks ago, we interviewed Bob Kaplan and Sarah Weber.
That's
and,
right.
Carolyn Dixon.
That's right, from the movie Dollface, right?
Yeah. And they had offered that if we were free this weekend, that they needed extras for a shoot in the area. And I decided to take them up on their offer.
Oh, nice. So you're going to be an extra in the movie then?
Yeah. I play an orderly at an insane asylum where Dollface is kept while she's seen visions of
world. No spoilers.
That's it.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
So they didn't have you be a crazy person.
Yeah, which is ironic. Yeah, I kind of thought I'd be a crazy person.
I got to tell you, I really liked having them on, but I think they messed up that casting a little bit, Rich.
No offense,
you know. But
I liked it. It was something out of my element, and I think I did
a pretty good job. So being crazy is in your element, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that would have been in my...
That would have been in your element.
But that would have been a challenge.
That's right. You needed a real acting challenge. Yeah.
You have to have a challenge.
Exactly. So tell us, what was it like on set? What did you guys do?
Interesting enough, we shot at a church.
Okay. Is this the church they were talking about doing drugs in? Not doing real drugs, but...
It might have been that one. It probably was the same one. it was great. We all had costumes and everything. I had to wear blue orderly medical gowns, you know?
Okay.
And yeah, we spent the majority of our day just talking with each other and got to meet the cast and the crew. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I hope to be able to say that when this movie is finished at the end of the year, that I can tell you that I'm in it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's one thing you never know is you know, they shoot the scenes, but you know, it could end up on the cutting room floor.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, hopefully we'll get to see you in your first major motion picture. It's not a major motion picture,
but I do get an acting credit for this.
You do.
Yeah, I do. So sooner or later, I will be on IMDb.
Oh, boy.
Which that's a little interesting.
You got to get a good headshot. You got to write the bio. Or do you have somebody else write the bio for you? I don't know how it works.
Yeah. Does somebody else write my bio?
I don't know.
IMDb, please get in the contact with me.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a profile for me eventually, so let me know what I have to do.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well get started on it now.
Right.
You know, because you're going to have so many credits.
I have a headshot, so that's done.
There you go. You're halfway there.
Right. Just tell me, do I have to write my own bio? I don't know. Yeah. From the rough and tumbling neighborhoods of Norristown, Pennsylvania.
You're going to write the bio like a movie announcement. I like it.
Yes.
This summer, Rich Liebig is Rich Liebig.
Wow. There you go. Not much of a change.
It's the toughest acting gig of your career.
Yes. That curly haired. Nobody would forget him. Everyone would love him, but some would also hate him too, that bastard.
Boy, this isn't a very glowing bio, is it?
I don't know.
I'm trying to be dramatic. You're trying to be dramatic.
Yeah. This 2017, he will learn what it's like to be in the acting business. In two movies or something, I don't know.
In two movies.
Two movies that he's an extra in. Find out.
You may remember him from the background of such films as Dollface, Road to the Apocalypse.
I'm going to have,
And the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The actor in The Simpsons?
Troy McClure.
Troy McClure, yeah. Ah, I'm Rich Liebig. You might remember me from such podcasts as The Crispy Noodle.
There you go. You got to do a Troy McClure video.
There we go. I'll do a Troy McClure video. There we go.
Awesome.
And then I'll say Dollface, too, because that will be a credit.
That's what really matters is the credit.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's...
So you're officially an actor now.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'll be interesting when
And then
when
the
that
Screen Actors Guild, and then you're moving to Hollywood.
Oh, man.
You're gonna start
what did I sign up for?
Going to star in like a Michael Bay movie, Transformers 17.
No, no explosions. I don't want any explosions.
You don't like explosions?
Not actually happening around me, no.
Okay.
I have a bad track record with projectiles around me.
That's
not
right,
good.
You do.
Yeah. All right. I get injured. It's not good.
You almost died.
Yeah, so. Possibly.
No explosions.
Good. No explosions.
No explosions.
But, yeah, there you go. That's what I was up to. Actually, you know, doing a little bit of acting on the side. So, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, with all that out of the way, let's go over some of the topics that we have that we want to talk with you about. A lot of news happening in this first segment of the show. Folks, it's time for the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face.
Oh, boy. We have a lot of football news to get to you guys. It's the start of the NFL season. But to kick things off, we're going to start off with one of our newer segments where we hit you with a couple of news topics real quick. This is the 2-Minute Drill.
All right, let's get the music going. Give you the topics in 2 minutes.
All right.
Mike, what do you got?
Well, this week in the 2-Minute Drill, to kick things off, we have a lot of last-minute roster changes in the NFL. Recently, the Cowboys signed former Eagles quarterback Mark Sanchez to back up new rookie quarterback Dak Prescott. The Cowboys aren't placing Tony Romo on the injured reserve list, so Sanchez's stay may just be a temporary role. But what do you think about this move, Rich?
This is the end of Sanchez's career.
Yeah, backing up a rookie?
No. I mean, take a step back. He should have been the starting quarterback for the Broncos.
It says
volumes that he didn't win that job starting to be the starter for the Broncos.
So in one football game, you get to see the start of one quarterback's career and the end of another's.
Ta-da!
Yay, beginnings and endings. Well, speaking of beginnings and endings, Eric Rowe's beginning and ending came very quickly here in Philadelphia as it was recently announced that the Eagles traded their 2015 second-round pick, cornerback Eric Rowe, to the Patriots for a conditional fourth-round pick in 2018. Depending on his performance, it could get bumped all the way up to a third-round pick. Ooh, so exciting.
Ooh.
But this continues the Eagles' attempt to purge everything Kelly-related from the team and bolster depleted drafts in the upcoming years. Rich, how do you feel about this trade? Do you think we got good value for a former second-round pick that still has a lot of upside?
I think it says so from the Eagles' point of view. Obviously, they didn't have much faith in him.
Yeah, I mean, they went out and signed a bunch of corners this year.
Right, exactly. So, obviously, they weren't high on him. So, trade him and get some value for it. And obviously, the Patriots bit on the deal.
Yeah, I know. Something about the fourth-round pick just doesn't seem like appropriate compensation, but you got to find some way to cut that dead weight, I guess. And apparently Eric Rowe just wasn't living up to expectations. He was, I think, like fifth on the depth chart.
Right, exactly.
You know? So,
they didn't think high of him.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's time to say goodbye to our second-round pick from last year. And that wraps it up for the 2-Minute Drill.
That was perfect. Good job, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't have to do one of my awkward, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
I slowed it down just enough at the end.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to add an awkward, oh, yeah. You can add one now if you'd like.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. It wouldn't be an episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast without an awkward, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of slightly awkward moments and continuing the trend of Eagles making moves leading up to the first game of the season, I think everybody was a little shocked when this tidbit came across the newswire. The Eagles traded starting quarterback Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings, get this, for a 2017 first-round pick and a conditional fourth-round pick in 2018. What do you make of this bombshell news? Did anybody see this coming?
All right, so there you go. Great. That's the way I feel.
Yeah.
It was.
I saw this update, and I didn't know what to make of it. I was like, why did this happen? Where did this come from?
Actually, it's funny. I knew about it because you sent me the text message while I was on the set for Dollface.
Yeah.
And when you sent me that text, I was worried, oh, my God, we're not going to get enough for him. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We got desperate. We're going to get jack crap for this. And then
first,
I saw the deal.
Yeah.
First-round draft? That's pretty big.
So to put it in perspective, Donovan McNabb, the best quarterback the Eagles have ever had, went for a second round pick.
Yes.
And we just traded Sam Bradford for a first and a fourth.
Yeah.
That could get bumped up to a third or second.
If the Vikings
make
the Super Bowl or
something. It won't get to a second round pick.
Probably not.
But still, a first and a fourth, that's really good value for Sam Bradford.
It's really the first round draft pick.
The first round draft pick because is essential. We traded away that pick.
Right, we traded away
Carson
that
Wentz.
Pick.
Yeah.
And yeah, that just redeems the whole process of risking life and limb to get Carson Wentz.
So let's put it this way. Pros and cons. I think this is a win-win for both teams, honestly. I think the Eagles, look, here's the thing. I was talking about this on Labor Day with my cousins. This was going to happen. This was the plan from the start. Sam Bradford was never going to be the franchise quarterback.
Not after
Chip Kelly left. His time, his days here were numbered. This was simply an expedition of the process, right? He was going to be shipped off here next year. We thought that it wouldn't be so soon, but he was eventually going to leave. Wentz was eventually going to start. So all they're doing is speeding up the process. And in that speeding up of the process, we managed to get a first and a fourth round pick, a first round pick that we gave away in order to get Wentz in the first place. So we're recouping a draft pick. We are speeding up the process of getting Wentz in there to start. And meanwhile, the Vikings get a proven starter, somebody, you know, that can hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it. Just do that.
They're projected.
Please.
They're projected to make the playoffs, at least.
If I'm the Vikings fan base, for the love of God, Sam Bradford, don't pass it. All you do is just hand it off to Adrian Peterson.
But this is what Bradford needs. He needs a team that has a decent defense, that has an amazing run game, where he doesn't have to throw more than 20 times a game.
Right.
This is perfect for Bradford. This is what the Eagles were eventually going to do anyway, just the quicker way to get there. So I think it's a win-win for both teams. Now, the negative, of course, is the Carson Wentz issue.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that the Eagles are trying to rush him back to week one. You've already invested some money in Chase Daniel.
Why not let him take the beating for the first couple of weeks?
Let him have a game or two.
Yeah, and when he proves that he's a career backup, which he is, then you put Wentz in there after the bye week. Look, here's my problem. Like I said, it's a win-win. The downside is that Wentz is going to be pushed in there as an injured rookie quarterback that has not played a preseason game because of that injury.
Yeah.
He hasn't played or practiced. He's going to get killed.
Yeah, especially behind our offensive line, which isn't really all that.
I mean, the offensive line, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough for him.
It is, and I'm nervous.
Especially with the lack of weapons
on offense, too. Doesn't this sound like an RG3 case? Doesn't this sound...
Yeah. You know, rookie quarterback that's been forced into action because of a desperate franchise.
Mark Sanchez, doesn't this sound?
Mark Sanchez,
Geno Smith, doesn't this sound familiar?
I mean, the only thing is, you know, he could go out there and be amazing. I don't think he'll be amazing right away, and I hope he has the mental fortitude to tough it out. But, I mean, from that perspective, it's a little worrying. In terms of value, I think the trade was a great trade.
Oh, yeah. In terms of value, this was a phenomenal trade for both teams. Needed this.
Yeah.
And it works out.
Yeah, but aftermath, I think it's going to be a little iffy. The other interesting thing about the trade, though, is I don't think the trade ever happens if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get injured for the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If Teddy Bridgewater didn't get injured, there's no way we would have got a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. And I was reading an article earlier that Howie Roseman used that to his advantage and used the Carson Palmer trade from years ago as a baseline for where to start the valuation. You know, because the Vikings come to him, they're desperate. And he goes, okay, when Carson Palmer was traded, you know, they got a first and a second.
Yeah.
And the Vikings were like, that's insane. And Howie Roseman says, no, it's not.
No, it's not. This actually happened.
Yeah, this actually happened. You guys are desperate. And he was able to strong arm a first and a fourth out of them.
Yeah. Would you rather have Sam Bradford coming in to lead your team in a brand new stadium? Keep that in mind, too. The Vikings just spent a whole lot of money on a brand new stadium.
And mind you, they were projected to go into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they don't want to lose that chance.
Or would you rather have... Sean Hill. Who the hell is Sean Hill?
I think he was like third stringer in St. Louis, or yeah. I guess the LA Rams now.
Who are you?
Yeah. Huh? Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Vikings were desperate. They saw their playoff chances slipping away. I think Sam Bradford keeps them in the hunt for the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think that they have enough to win the division from the Packers.
Oh, no.
But I think they make the wild card now.
They'll contend. They'll contend. Their defense is up there. They got a really strong running game. Sam Bradford doesn't have to do anything.
No, just hand the ball to Adrian Peterson.
Hand the ball off. Drop a few checkdowns to the tight ends every once in a while. Maybe a screen pass here or there. That's your job for the next however long you want to stay there.
Yep. There you go.
So the Packers, the Vikings keep their playoff hopes alive. What does this do to the Eagles' record now? Because we had said 9-7 being pretty positive.
That would be the best case scenario. They go 9-7.
So what happens now with Wentz as starter? Where's the new projection? Do we have new?
I do.
I do. Yeah. What do you think now? How do you feel about the projected season record?
I say they go 5-11, 6-10.
Wow, really? All the way to 5-11?
Yeah. Best case scenario, they go 8-8.
I think 8-8 is a stretch, but I think 6-10 is probably where they're going to end up. Maybe 7-9. I don't think 7-9 is out of the realm of possibility, especially given the iffy division we're in, depending on how Dak Prescott holds up, you know.
Watch him.
He could be like the second coming of Peyton Manning.
I mean, he did look good in preseason.
But it
is preseason.
Preseason. You know, the Detroit Lions in 08 went, you know, undefeated in the preseason.
Yeah, and then they went 0-16.
Yep. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe the Eagles will go 0-16.
Woo!
We went 4-0 in the preseason.
And then the Browns would profit off of.
Well, yeah, you know who really wins in this?
Yeah, the Browns.
The Browns.
Yep.
You watch because they have their own first round pick and they have our first round pick. They could potentially have two top five picks.
Yeah. Watch them have.
You watch them the next two or three years. I always said RG3 got a rotten deal in Washington. You watch the next two or three years. The Browns could turn this thing around.
Oh, my gosh.
Two top five picks?
Yeah. Get like a star, get a stud defense and a stud defenseman and then a stud offense draft pick.
Get a solid offensive lineman that you're going to stick there for 10, 11 years. And get like a top tier cornerback or something.
There you go.
You know, and you're good. Set. Yeah.
Especially if RG3, you know, makes a comeback.
Yeah, you protect his blind side, he'll be fine.
Yeah. And don't let him play when he has a noodle for a leg.
Exactly. Like, Washington really screwed that guy's career.
It was really Shanahan.
Yeah.
I still don't know to this day how Shanahan didn't get investigated for that horrible playoff game.
And you know what's a shame is that he was such a good coach with the Broncos previously, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes to Washington and he becomes like this like crazy monster type.
Yeah.
Leaving
RG3 in the middle of a game.
When
he clearly can't stand on it.
It's insane. I mean, the team doctors and trainers have something to do about that too, but.
Yeah.
But anyway. Whatever. We're not reflecting on the past. We're reflecting on the future. And the future, unfortunately, looks a little bit shaky with Carson Wentz now. The official week one starter, if he's ready to go. Remember, he's just getting over a rib injury.
Yes, yeah, that's what I don't like about this. You're rushing him back from an injury.
Also, it makes them look silly, okay? Because during the preseason, during practice, they said Carson Wentz is going to sit the season and he's going to learn. You know, he needs to develop. Then they go, oh, well, he might start later in the season. And now they say, oh, he's week one starter.
What?
How do you go from sitting the first season because he needs to develop to starting week one?
Yeah.
It makes them look silly. It makes them look like, did he really impress them that much by practicing because of a how do they even know what he's capable of? He hasn't played or practiced in a month because of that rib injury.
And now we're going to shove him into full-blown NFL season territory.
I mean, luckily they're playing the Browns week one.
Yeah, that helps. But it doesn't get better. They got the Steelers in the third game, right? Steelers week three.
It only gets worse for the Eagles.
Yeah,
the Eagles' schedule does not look good. The further along you go in their schedule, it only gets tougher and tougher.
I'm telling you, I think they're going to be 5-11, 6-10.
5-11, you think?
Yeah, I don't see them getting more than that.
Well, I'm pulling up their schedule now.
Best case scenario, I think this is it. Best case scenario is they go 8-8. And the division is so weak that somehow with wacky tiebreakers or something.
No, they're not going to go 8-8. But they got Cleveland, Chicago, and
that's the absolute best case scenario, 8-8.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, that could be.
Worst case scenario is like 4-12, 3-13.
Yeah, it could be 3-13.
I mean, what was McNabb's first year? They went, what, 5-11?
I think so. 4-12 around there.
4-12, something like that.
It was definitely double-digit losses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just looking at the schedule now. We got the Browns, the Bears, and the Steelers. And then we have that early bye. So I think they lose two of those three.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Then we go to Detroit. I think we might be able to tough out a win against Detroit. Washington might be tough. Minnesota... That'll be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, all of a sudden, that game's going to be interesting.
Dallas will be iffy, depending on whether Dak Prescott is still there or not.
Watch Bradford like light it up. Oh, 350 yards.
Against the Eagles, 350, three touchdowns, 70% completion. He'll have a perfect quarterback rating, and we'll just be like, oh, my God, what happened?
What did we do?
He's gonna win MVP for the season.
Vikings win the Super Bowl.
56 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. They win the Super Bowl. Then we get the second-round pick, Rich.
Ooh, thanks. Thank God.
I have conflicted feelings. It's like, oh, if they do really well, we can get a second-round pick. But then we also get the 32nd pick overall in the first round. You know, it's like you want them to do bad. You want them to do good. I'd rather have them do bad. Yeah. The Vikings, that is. Not
for,
the Eagles.
Well, for the draft pick, yeah.
For the draft pick, yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, God.
Yeah, you know, I think it's 6-10. I think it's around there.
I think 6-10. They have an outside shot of 7-9. Probably be 6-10, though.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's our optimistic predictions for the Eagles season after that Bradford
trade. They were
trade.
Never very optimistic.
Yeah, but now it's worse now that we don't want Bradford. But, hey, you know what? It's what you said, though. It was something that was going to happen anyway. Yeah. So let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Exactly. Now we know. If Wentz is going to suck, now we know earlier.
Yeah.
You know? But speaking of, you know, we're talking about the Eagles' future and their potential record. It's got me ready for some real football, not preseason football, but real football.
That's right.
And you know what that means when real football comes back?
It means an old segment comes back.
That's right. One of our favorite segments. It's time to pick four of the best games for week one of the NFL regular season. And we're going to tell you what we think about these matchups. It's time for the Fantastic Four picks.
Yeah, we haven't heard this music in a while.
Oh, man, this feels so good. It feels so good to be home again in the NFL season. I'm loving it.
Yeah, all the basketball.
No more golf,
hockey,
no more basketball, no more maybe baseball when they have the playoffs. But right now, it's all football all the time, and I'm ready. This first matchup has got me pumped up.
He's seriously like a little kid right now.
I am. I'm so excited. It's like Christmas morning.
His grin goes from ear to ear.
I'm unwrapping the gift, and what is it? It's the NFL regular season. And the first gift under the tree, JB's looking at me like, dude, you're insane. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, the first gift under the tree is a Super Bowl rematch. The Carolina Panthers are traveling to Denver to face off against the defending Super Bowl champs. It's a Thursday night game, 8:30 p.m. Rich, what do you think about the very first game of the NFL season? Who's got this one?
You know, the Broncos are almost a completely different team when you think about it.
Well,
they don't have Peyton
Manning. No Peyton Manning. That's the
right.
Big one.
Who's their quarterback now? Trevor Siemian or whatever?
I have no idea. They lost Manning and Osweiler in one offseason.
Yeah, I think that's going to come back and bite them worse than they are anticipating. Meanwhile, the Panthers definitely want to get revenge from last year's Super Bowl. They might have lost Josh Norman, but I still believe that defense is very tough to handle. I think Cam Newton's going to learn from his mistakes in the Super Bowl last year. I like the Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to get their revenge in this first regular season game.
Yeah, where the Broncos have changed a lot, the Panthers have stayed the same. Cam Newton is going to be a year smarter with that loss under his belt. He's going to be, you know, a little more driven. He's getting his number one receiver back, Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, that's
that
right,
defense
yeah.
is still going to be tough. Meanwhile, the Broncos, yeah, they still have that great defense, but what are they going to do on offense? They don't have a particularly strong running game. They have nobody to throw the ball. I think the Panthers come in, they punch the Broncos in the mouth, and they steal a win. So I think we're both in agreement, the Panthers, for the first game of the NFL season.
Okay.
Next up, though, we have an NFC East showdown. The New York Giants are traveling to Dallas to face off against a heated division rival. Sunday, September 11th at 4:30 p.m. How do you feel about this division matchup?
Divisional games are always tough to predict, especially one right off the bat. I mean, you really don't know where these teams stand. Though, I think if you have to prod me with a decision here, I'm going to go with the Giants. Just because of Eli Manning, he knows the offense like the back of his hand. Their wide receiving core is going to be upgraded with Victor Cruz coming back.
Yeah.
You still have Odell Beckham Jr. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys, I don't know what to expect from them. And to be honest with you, screw them. I'm going with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is simple. Two words, Dak Prescott. He's a rookie quarterback. He might be great. He might not be great. But you know what? First NFL action against a tough division rival. The New York Giants, they play tough football. They're not going to dance around and do anything fancy. They're going to play tough defense. Eli Manning is a proven veteran. As much as I hate the deer in headlights, I think the Giants are going to take this early win against a little bit of an inexperienced rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think the Giants all around for both of us. This next one, though, this is a tough matchup. It's a possible Super Bowl preview with the New England Patriots traveling to the West Coast to face off against the Arizona Cardinals in a Sunday night game. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
This one should be interesting. Definitely looking forward to this one. But unfortunately, I think the Brady suspension hurts too much. I mean, if the Patriots were going full force here with Brady in tow, I could see this being a stronger dilemma. But Cardinals at home, the only concern I have about the Cardinals is actually Carson Palmer. He ended last season on a very sour note with a lot of turnovers. But you know what? That's why they got Johnson as their strong running back. I think the Cardinals should be able to pull this out at home.
I mean, to put it simply, you know, I know last year's stats don't mean anything, but they had a top five offense, a top five defense. The Patriots are running without Brady. I don't know how good Garoppolo is going to be.
Right.
You know, and these teams usually take a while to get warmed up. I think the Cardinals, just because they're closer to where they were last season than the Patriots are
to where they were last season.
Yeah, without Brady. So I think it's going to be a close one, but I think the Cardinals are going to pull off an upset against the Patriots. And finally, the matchup we've all been waiting for, the Cleveland Browns travel to our hometown of Philadelphia to face off against the Wentz-led Eagles Sunday, September 11th at 1 p.m. How do you feel about your hometown team, Rich? Can the Eagles do it against the lowly Cleveland Browns?
You know what? Yeah, if it was any other team, I'd say the Eagles would choke this opening game. But if there's one team that probably could choke more than the Eagles, it's probably the Browns.
Yeah.
And the Browns, the fact that they've got RG3, we still don't know what to expect from him. What the hell did the Browns do for defense last year? I don't know. Who's their running back? I still don't know. I play fantasy football. I still don't know.
What wide receivers do they have? Yeah. Nobody knows. They're a bunch of nobodies. No offense to them.
I mean, I don't know. They might prove us wrong because it is the first game of the season.
Could be a trap game.
But I think the Eagles at home, plus the Eagles defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't knock the Eagles defense. They're decent. I think the Eagles handle them.
Yeah, you know what? The Philadelphia Eagles, that defense has gotten better this offseason with the signing of McLeod, the new safety, the new cornerbacks. They're switching to a 4-3. They created a lot of pressure, a lot of turnovers in the preseason. I know that's just preseason, but they were already a pretty tough defense. The Cleveland Browns, they really don't have anything of note going for them. RG3 is the only thing you can make a case for, and he's had a rough couple of years. So I think the Eagles defense keeps them in this game long enough for us to eke out by a couple of field goals. I think Wentz has a tough outing, but I think that he's going to survive his first NFL game trial by fire. I think the Eagles are going to win one of the few games this season against the Browns.
All right, there you go. Those are fantastic four picks. Great to have that back.
I love picking the games, even though I'm not very good at it. I love picking them. I love talking football. I'm just excited for the season to start.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know my expectations for the Eagles are low, but you know what? That's kind of good in a way, because if they go 6-10, I expect it. If they go 8-8, I'm like, yeah. You know, that's all right.
You know what's sad is our division, 8-8, that might be enough to contend for the division.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. Well, we say it's bad, but we don't know. The Giants could be better, especially with Victor Cruz coming back. Washington.
The Giants, though, don't have a defense. That's their problem.
Okay, the Giants don't have a defense, but...
Here's the quick rundown.
But we don't have an offense.
Here's the rundown. The Giants have a good offense. They don't have a good defense. The Eagles have a good defense, but they don't have a good offense. The Cowboys are...
Somewhere in the middle in both of them.
They have a good offensive line, a decent defense, but what the hell's going on with Dak Prescott? Don't know. And the Redskins are the Redskins. I don't know.
You say that. We brush off the Redskins. They have DeSean Jackson and Kirk Cousins. And they surprisingly have a decent defense.
So what, you think it's going to be the Redskins?
I don't know if it'll be the Redskins, but I'm just saying you can't count them out like previous years.
Okay. But, you know, it is the Redskins.
It is the Redskins. It is
they
the
are
Redskins.
Known
I
for I know. Doing some weird, goofy crap.
I know, they do.
So there you go. That's our division in a nutshell. Yeah, and football's back this week, man. I am, just as Mike says, looking forward
I'm
to
excited.
It.
Excited.
I love watching the games. I love fantasy football. Yeah, I'm ready to go. It has been a long time. I'm
it
ready.
Has. It has.
I am ready.
It makes it all that sweeter, though.
That's right. But unfortunately, that ends the sports sampler for right now. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we still have news in the entertainment world that we should get to. And then, of course, I have some weird news in the non-fortune cookie odd news. So still plenty more shows still to come. Don't go anywhere. A lot more good stuff coming your way. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
That's like a skill. We need to teach patience in school.
It's just a class where you sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
You just sit there for an hour.
We need something like that, because these kids don't know how to... These kids don't know how to not do nothing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Except the fact that we sound like really old people.
Back in my day,
we waited 5 minutes to play a... I was going to say flippy, a bad word.
A flippy flashy game.
A flippin' flash game. And we didn't have the curse words you whippersnappers have nowadays.
Yeah, we had to invent our own.
Yeah.
Like frickin'.
And sugar honey iced tea.
I hope I don't embarrass my sister.
Oh,
but
no.
We did have the incident. One of the kids dropped the F-bomb.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like,
boy.
I was kind of expecting, like, it would go in, like, a scale of intensity. Like,
it would start small, like, damn.
Right.
Like, you'd hear them under their breath, like, oh, damn.
Yeah. This one, I'm not going to say which one it is, but this one went right to the F-bomb.
Wow.
And he said, like, F you. I was like, oh, my God.
Listen here!
Yeah, like...
You probably just would have laughed and been like, right on!
I did when I heard the story. And my poor sister's like, that's not funny! when you curse in front of your parents.
For the very first time, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the world, and now we sit around dinner, F this! My mom's gonna hate me for that. And the funny thing is, the kids learn it from the parents. That's where I first learned it. Now my mom's really gonna kill me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on. Uh-oh. Come on, you know. You know,
don't you drag me into this.
Where did you first
don't
hear?
Don't you drag me into this.
Where did you first hear your curse words?
Probably my dad.
There you go. It's always the parents.
Bruno's here. He's
got something to add.
What story?
I have something to add.
Okay.
Mom said she overheard you.
Uh-oh.
I might have to bleep this out, but she said, F you.
No, wait. What was I saying, Rich? What was I saying?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling with our sports sampler, our entertainment entree, and our non-fortune cookie odd news. New podcast every Thursday. Make sure you're subscribed to our feed, whether it's iTunes Podcast or now on Stitcher Radio. So now,
whether
it's iOS or Android, you can get our feed on the go.
Which we got you covered.
That's right. So yeah, make sure that you are subscribed to us so that you get the episodes ready to go straight to your mobile device of your choice.
Beamed over the interwebs.
Is that the technical term?
Yep, beamed.
Beamed.
We use special ion beams.
Twin
ion cannons to transmit.
One for iOS and one for Android.
One, yes.
There you go. That's why it's twin ion cannons.
One for each of the operating systems, and we beam every bit of data straight to your mobile device.
There you go.
It's impressive. The technology we have here.
If you think that's weird, what we just did, I'm going to just forewarn you. The beginning of the entertainment entree coming up is going to get pretty weird.
You've never and had to give me
it's good. It's a good weird, but it'll be an interesting weird.
I'm excited, but also worried.
Yes.
Question mark.
Just a little frightened. Just enough.
Okay. A little bit of fear.
A little bit of fear that keeps you on edge.
Okay.
Because let's start it. The entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
That's powerful. That was not even rigged comedy. But I transmute the fact that nothing works right around here into pure comedy. The genius level is unbelievable. Ugh. I can't open pickles. I can't shoot BB guns. But you can, Kimmel. That's the conspiracy. Kimmel's a robot.
All right.
What was that?
Wait.
I mean, I know that was Alex Jones.
Yes, it's our good friend Alex Jones.
It's the weekly clip from the Alex Jones Show.
Yes, and just when you think things can't get any weirder, it does.
Did he say he can't open pickles?
Yes. So are you ready for the backstory behind this random clip?
Yeah.
All right. Politics aside, this is just freaking weird, all right?
Okay.
Whatever you want to say about the political race, that's fine. Do it on your own. We do not talk about politics here. We talk about weird crap on this podcast.
That's right.
And this is one of them. Alex Jones is convinced Hillary Clinton is hiding, I guess, a disease or something because he claims that she did not open up a can of pickles the right way.
How did she open up a can of pickles that it wasn't the right way? Did she, like, smash it on the ground?
No,
or
I don't know. But anyway,
okay,
this all started on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Well, of course. You know, breaking news on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Right. Jimmy Kimmel asked Hillary Clinton, when she was on the show, to open up a can of pickles as a joke for her physical ability to lead the country as president.
Right, right.
And I guess she didn't open it the right way or something.
Well, how did she open it that it was the wrong way?
There wasn't a pop or something. I don't know. The important thing is...
Okay.
The important thing is Alex Jones...
He took that. To mean
just that.
That she had a disease?
Or hiding something about her physical...
Maybe the fact that she's
statue?
Like 70 years old?
I don't know.
So sometimes old people have a hard time opening cans.
Now, that clip I played...
Yeah.
For our random clip of the entertainment entree...
Right.
Was 30 seconds long about...
Right.
Alex Jones talked about pickles on his show for 15 minutes. 15 minutes.
And man, I thought we ramble.
There are people that work in pickle plants
that don't talk about
that. Don't
that
talk
much.
About pickles for 15 minutes straight.
Oh my gosh.
And this nut job went on if you're desperate for content, you can watch the entire 15-minute dissertation about what...
So does he go over, like, the proper pickle jar opening techniques and what the best type of pickles are?
This part is not a joke. He does.
Oh, my God.
And if you want to...
The man's insane.
Go
the
ahead.
Man's insane.
Go ahead. Have your fun. But Alex Jones actually did a full-blown dissertation on it.
And he concluded it with that 30-second clip I played at the end, where he says, I'm the genius of comedy or something.
Yeah.
Something about, I'm the true genius of comedy or something. And Jimmy Kimmel's a robot.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what the hell that is.
And also, it sounded like he was typing on a typewriter or something. He said he transmuted something.
Oh, yeah. He said something about, I transmute whatever. What does that mean? Transmute? Is that even a word?
It is, but I don't know if he's using it correctly.
See, that's powerful. That was not even rigged comedy. But I transmute the fact that nothing works right around here into pure comedy. The genius level is unbelievable.
The genius level is unbelievable.
So is the ego level.
The genius level is unbelievable. I can't open pickles. I can't shoot BB guns. But you can, Kimmel. That's the conspiracy.
All right. What? And the reason why he mentions BB guns,
yeah,
is because Jimmy Kimmel officially released a statement,
right,
on his show about Alex Jones' dissertation on what he's calling Picklegate.
I cannot believe this is a thing.
Yes. This all happened right before Labor Day.
Oh my God.
And are you ready for Jimmy Kimmel's official response?
Yeah.
To the whole scenario?
I'd love to hear this.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel. Take this away.
But I don't want to make a joke out of this. The stakes obviously are very high, and clearly Alex Jones has put a great deal of thought into this subject. So to Alex, if you are watching, and I know that you are always watching over us, I have something to say. You just had to keep digging, didn't you, Alex? The plan was so simple. All Hillary had to do was open a jar of pickles, and the White House would be all ours. Mine and hers. We had it all worked out. This went all the way up to Vlasic. But you couldn't leave it alone, could you? With your twisting and your popping and your poking your nose where it shouldn't be poked. You blew the lid right off our pickle can. You just couldn't stop, couldn't. But it stops now because I'm afraid this little game is over, Alex. Now that you had to go and open your big mouth, I have no choice but to kill these pickles. The juice of these pickles is on you, Alex Jones. Say, the New World Order sends its regards.
That was the perfect response. I don't know why. That just struck such a perfect chord with me. You know, because the funny thing is, that's how I imagine Alex Jones's mind works.
Yeah.
Like, he legitimately thinks that Jimmy Kimmel and Hillary Clinton were plotting something.
He's getting a kickback when Hillary Clinton becomes president or
something.
Yeah,
you know, that's how the mind of a conspiracy theorist works. You know, with the dramatic music and the mood lighting. And that's how I imagine. And he probably heard that and he was like, oh my God, I knew it! That's why he was saying the genius level is unreal, because he unraveled the mystery.
Yep, man. He called it.
He called
Jimmy
it.
Jimmy Kimmel.
It went all the way up to Vlasic. That line had me. That was perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, so, Jimmy Kimmel, Hillary Clinton, and Vlasic. Oh, man.
New World Order.
New World Order, yeah.
It's coming.
I, for one, welcome our pickle overlords.
There you go, folks. That's Picklegate. And yes, all of this actually happened last week.
This is American politics. We argue about pickles.
There you go. The blood, was it the juice of these pickles?
The juice
are on
of these
hands.
Pickles is on your hands, yeah.
So, there you go. That was Picklegate.
Oh, man.
In case you may have heard it, or maybe you watch Jimmy Kimmel and you're like, what is he talking about?
Why is he, what did he do, shoot the pickles?
Yeah,
explode the pickles?
Yeah, he took out the BB gun and he shot the pickles.
Oh, that's why Alex Jones mentioned the BB gun.
Yeah, those poor pickles. But we had to make a statement, the New World Order.
That's right. We're not gonna stand for this, you know?
That's right. That might have been one of the weirdest stories I think I've ever researched that wasn't odd news.
Yeah, I know.
Like, folks, this is really happening in the entertainment world.
Yeah. This isn't just a Florida guy doing it. This is a major radio personality and a late night comedy, you know?
Yeah. So, there you go. Actually happened in the world of entertainment. All right, now let's move on to something more in tradition with our show. It's time for the segment where Mike gives you the lowdown of what you should keep an eye on in TV, video games, and movies. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Mike's
is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Yeah, you just don't turn it off, Mike.
That's right, you don't turn it off. And you better not turn off the TV this next week, because I tell you...
You betray the law!
Don't betray.
Well, there's no betraying of the law in these shows.
You betray the law!
But it would be a crime if you don't watch them, though. These are two very popular shows coming back to television. First up, American Horror Story is set to premiere on FX Wednesday, September 14th. The new season of American Horror Story is shrouded in mystery. The producers are being very coy about the details for the new season, but some details have slipped through the cracks. Apparently, Kathy Bates, Lady Gaga, and Cuba Gooding Jr. lead the cast for this upcoming season. Rumors are swirling, though, that it revolves around something that deals with children, alien abductions, and potentially the 1590s Roanoke colony mystery? I don't know. Those are just some of the rumors online right now. But if you're into the weird supernatural horror stuff, go check out American Horror Story on FX, premiering on the 14th. Also in TV, South Park is returning for its 20th season on Comedy Central, Wednesday, September 14th as well. But unfortunately, they're not going to be tackling a Pokemon Go episode, the creators said, because they already tackled that topic back in the third season.
Yeah, Chin Pokemon.
That's right. So they're usually pretty topical, but that's one topic they're not going to be touching.
Yeah, but why would go back and rehash an old subject?
The fad's already dead anyway.
Yeah, right?
So
you used to be Mr. Pokemon Go. What happened?
It got boring, as all mobile games eventually do. That's why they suck. But
so it's officially done?
Not officially done, but it's not as cool as it used to be, definitely. But for other topical comedy, make sure you check out the 20th season of South Park, because you know they're going to do something special for the big 2-0 season. In video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. Particularly, this is an important one, Journey is the free game on PlayStation 4. Now, Journey released many years ago on PlayStation 3 to universal critical acclaim, won Best of the Game of the Year awards. It won, you know, got 9 and 10s out of 10s. This is really a breathtaking game. And I recommend for everyone playing it for the first time, set aside 2 to 3 hours to play it in one sitting, turn the lights off, pop on a pair of good headphones, and just experience it from start to finish all in one go. It's one of the most breathtaking, exhilarating, and poignant experiences you can ever have on a game console. It uses a unique type of multiplayer where you're randomly paired with just a random other player, but there's no text, there's no names, there's no chat, but you go through this game with using the most basic form of communication by making your little characters chirp, and you sort of develop your own language. It's a very, very unique experience. A much, much better connection with the players you team up with in Journey than, say, Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty.
Wait. You guys chirp?
Yeah, the characters chirp.
You're just a chicken. Chip, 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 chip.
Like that? Is that what it does?
Not quite like that.
That's not Tommy Wiseau from The Room?
No.
Just a chicken. Chip, 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 chip.
Not quite like that. Almost like that, but not quite like that. Okay. But I highly recommend Journey. I can't say enough good things about it. Definitely go check it out, especially since it's free for PlayStation Plus on PlayStation 4. But also coming out of Star Trek Online, a free, massively multiplayer online RPG, is finally coming to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. You can live out your Star Trek fantasies in 130 story missions, plus some great voice acting from the cast of Star Trek Voyager. Tons of locations to explore, tons of fun side quests to do. If you want to get lost in a universe, play whichever side of the battle you want to in this free MMORPG. And finally, in movies, a new Tom Hanks movie is coming to theaters, Sully. Of course, this is the movie about the real-life emergency plane landing on the Hudson River. Tom Hanks plays the heroic pilot who faces an investigation that threatens his career and reputation. It currently has a 76 on Metacritic, so go check it out. Tom Hanks always gives an amazing performance. I have to say, even though this is based on real-world events, it seems like they're rehashing the plot of Flight. Isn't that the one with, I think it was Denzel Washington a few years back?
Well, that one, the guy's drunk.
That one, the guy's drunk. I'm not saying Sully was drunk.
Right, Sully wasn't.
Yeah.
This case isn't a drunk
pilot. I'm just saying, I know it's a real-life event, but it's like they already did a movie about this a couple years ago. So, I don't know. Go check it out if you want. That was a glowing review, wasn't it?
Also, here's something interesting. Tom Hanks as an actor for his roles.
Yeah.
If his roles ever merge into one person, that person would have horrible travel experiences.
Yeah.
Castaway.
I saw that, yeah.
The one where he's a captain. What's that one?
Are you talking about the one where with the pirates?
Yeah.
What's that called? I can't remember. Yeah. That was such a good movie.
I'm the captain now.
Captain
that
Phillips
one.
Or
captain
something
Phillips,
like that?
Captain Phillips, yeah. Now this one. Every yeah. time he's on some sort of vehicle for traveling, it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Don't travel with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea.
Right, bad idea.
Oh, but it's a good idea to go check out his movies. They're always very good.
Yeah, the movies are good.
So go
real life, not so much.
Real life, not good. So go check out Sully in theaters this week. And that
and
wraps
buy
it up.
Travel insurance.
Yes. For your trip to the movie theaters.
Right. Just in case.
Just in case. Just in case Tom Hanks jumps out.
Yeah.
But that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike. Thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. We have a quick topic here to get to. This is interesting. I didn't realize that 2016 had this dubious fact until Mike pointed it out to me. Mike, what is it?
Yeah, so the film industry has long heralded the day when the studios will collapse if a couple of big tentpole movies being the big summer blockbusters, all flopped in one season. Well, guess what, guys? That happened. There was a ton of flops this blockbuster season. And a lot of movie blogs are saying it is the worst summer ever for blockbuster movies.
No way! I don't believe it!
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the charts they have here in this Bloomberg article. And a lot of these big movies are netting negative dollars.
Yeah.
Ben-Hur.
Let's keep in mind, we're talking about now pure cash revenue. This
pure
isn't,
cash
this isn't
revenue.
Just reviews.
Yeah. So, this is pure cash. The reviews for summer blockbusters are always, you know, if it gets a 7 out of 10, it's good.
Yeah.
You know, summer blockbusters usually aren't going to be up for Oscars in
right.
the winter. But to give you an idea, Ben-Hur, which is one of the latest ones just released, It's projected to lose about $120 million.
Ew, no.
That's not good. The BFG, a Disney movie, projected to lose over $110 million. Alice Through the Looking Glass, another $80 million. Star Trek Beyond is losing $80 million. War Dogs, another $60 million. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, another $60 million lost. Ghostbusters, about $60 million lost.
Yeah, a lot of losses being posted.
Yeah,
here.
A lot of big losses. So far, I think the big movies have lost about $915 million. That's up from 550 last year. So almost a $400 million increase in losses. It's not looking good for the film industry.
At least for the summer movies.
At least for the summer movies, right. So, I mean, this raises the question. If just the previous years, you know, just last year and the year before, these summer blockbusters were doing so well, why is it now all of a sudden the tides are turning against these big summer blockbusters?
Well, I think it's...
Before Transformers would rake in $1 billion, and now Independence Day and Ghostbusters are barely making back what they cost to produce.
I think it's a twofold problem. First off, you have the fact that going to the movie theater is ridiculously expensive nowadays.
It's expensive and it's inconvenient.
Yeah, almost. I mean,
it is.
You pretty much, if you have to go see a movie you want to see.
There
really isn't too much anymore of like, I don't know, maybe I want to see this movie. No.
There's no more going to the movies and picking a random movie
right.
off the board.
No,
yeah.
You go to the movies because you want to see a specific movie, and that's it.
Right, right.
With that in mind, then the second problem is the fact that a lot of the movies that are coming out are just either remakes or rehacks or sequels or prequels or...
Do you think... Now,
There's really too much... There's not too much original stuff anymore.
Now, Hollywood has always been obsessed with sequels and remakes, but do you think we've reached a critical mass now?
I think it's at a place where it's much worse than it's ever been.
I think so, too. I've always defended Hollywood, saying, you know, even the best movies aren't original. The Godfather, based on a book, you know. I'm trying to think of them. Shawshank Redemption, I think, was based on a short story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like Hollywood has always been super original, but I think it is getting to a point now where it's becoming a much bigger problem, where there is a lack of original ideas. But I think more than that, one thing that I've noticed that's annoyed me is the way that movies are shown in theaters. The way that they're divided up. If you want to go see a movie, you have too many options to choose from for just one particular movie. I forget what it was. I think it was Independence Day, was showing on like four different combinations. It was IMAX, 3D IMAX, 2D, and 3D. And so you have to choose. You know, it's like a 12 o'clock in the afternoon show and a 10 o'clock at night show if you want to see IMAX 3D. So it's just inconvenient to go see these movies sometimes with all these special things they keep adding to the films. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and another thing, too, is I don't really like the 3D aspect.
And they keep trying to force it down people's throats.
Like, the 3D thing is starting to bother me. Whenever I go see a 3D movie, I get a headache afterwards.
Yeah, it gets to the point where you say you want to go see a movie, it's like, oh, they're only showing it in 3D.
Yeah, if they're only doing that,
Or we have to wait 4 hours for the next 2D showing.
Yeah, then I'm like, I'm out. Yeah.
And not only that, but I think the bigger problem, and this is something that several of the articles allude to, is the fact that TV is just a much better place for content right now.
Right now it is, with Netflix and Hulu. And
I mean, just last week we just got done lauding the amazing Stranger Things on Netflix.
Oh yeah, that was so much fun.
You know, what's better than being able to relax on a comfortable couch?
Your own couch
with whatever food and drink you want.
You might be, you know, resting the day. It's a Sunday, you have off.
It might be a rainy day where you don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're feeling under the weather. It's just so much more convenient.
You have, like, you know, your PJs on or something.
It's just better, I think, television. There's more to choose from, and it's all on demand.
Yeah.
And I don't
it's
mean
on
like,
your schedule.
It's on your schedule, right? You don't have to schedule around it. I don't know how the film industry fixes that. I don't know how they make movies an event again. You know, because movies used to be an event. You go to the movies, you get your popcorn, you get your soda. There were some movies you had to see on the big screen. And I think as a society, we're trending away from having to see it on the big screen. People are becoming more patient. Yeah, you know, I'll pirate it at home for free.
I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix.
I'll wait for it to come out on Netflix. I'll wait for it to be released digitally and stream it on Comcast or Verizon, you know? So I don't know how the film industry fixes that problem. Is there a way for them to fix that problem? Or are we going to see movies go the way of like theater, where it becomes more of a selective thing, where it's like really high priced tickets and you have to like schedule it into your planner, you know?
I don't know. I hope it doesn't go that route either, because I don't want it to be like going to the theater. That's a completely different experience.
Because that's how theater... the film industry is...
Here's one step they can do to help, is there needs to be more just original and good quality movies.
There needs to be some quality control.
Name the last good original movie you saw in the theaters.
In the theaters?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem, because I don't go to the theaters that much anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe like a few times a year.
The one I can say off the top of my head is probably like Interstellar. Like that was, I don't think that was based on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't, you know, in Inception, the Christopher Nolan movies essentially.
Yeah. See, I was going to say Captain America Civil War, but that's a trilogy
right
now.
Well, yeah, that's a sequel to the Captain America movies.
So Inside Out by Pixar.
Okay. That wasn't based on anything.
That wasn't based. That's completely original. And you know what's funny is that that's the one area where movies are still succeeding. Finding Dory made a $400 million profit, and The Secret Life of Pets made a $350 million profit.
Yeah, well, you know why? Family.
Family.
You can bring the whole family
for
that.
Bring the whole family.
But, and you know, for little kids, it's still an experience. It's still a rush.
Yeah. But also, to be fair, in animation, they are still they're still innovating. Like, you, I'm looking at this list right now. Everything else is a sequel. You have X-Men Apocalypse. You have The Conjuring 2. You have Captain America. You have Suicide Squad, which isn't a sequel, but it's baked into the DC film universe.
It's not original.
Finding Dory is actually a sequel, too. But The Secret Life of Pets, that's an original film that's not based on any other form of media. That's, you know, something that Universal dreamed up on their own.
Do you think maybe in the future, going to the movies is just going to be like a kid's activity?
I mean, I think films are always...
Right now, that's the only one that seems to be surviving, is like these family movies.
Films have always been geared towards the family.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like,
PG films do the most success. Every
movie wants to be PG-13.
Yeah.
Like, that is the golden rating. If you can get a PG or PG-13 rating for your movie, it's like instant success.
Right.
Because you're going to draw every single crowd. So it might trend more towards the families, but if that's the case, they need to do something about prices. You can't have these movies be $20 a ticket in some markets. You know, in our area, the Philadelphia suburbs, it's okay. But I've heard places, you know, some bigger cities are charging like $18, $20 a ticket.
Yeah, it's a pain. Yeah,
it's just, especially since it's $20 for like an hour and a half of entertainment.
Yeah, you're not getting too much return on your investment.
And passive entertainment, too. This isn't like a video game that you play for 20 hours. This is like you sit down for an hour and a half and then you leave.
Yeah. So... You know?
And God forbid you want to get a drink of water.
Oh,
that's
my
another
gosh.
$7.
Oh, the concessions, that pisses me off.
That annoys me so much. Like, you go and get a small popcorn and a drink, and it's like $15.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
The concessions are more expensive than the ticket.
Yeah, the last movie I saw, I got like Reese's Pieces and a bottle of water. It was like $11. What? In what world is water and Reese's Pieces $11?
No way! I don't believe it!
Yep. And I think it's going to be a big problem. The movie industry is going to have to figure something out for that because, man, that is a pain in the ass. I hate that.
I hate that. I think, though, that one of the biggest problems is the ballooning budgets. Mm-hmm. You know, these movies just have – these budgets are astronomical. Like, a small budget movie is like $50 million now.
Yeah, which is – that's unheard of.
It's obscene.
20 years ago, a low-budget movie would be like six figures.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what happened to like – and I'm not saying movies should be like
– Clerks, the first movie Kevin Smith
did. We were just talking about that earlier, yeah.
Clerks was shot on a $50,000 budget.
Yeah, wasn't like the Blair Witch Project shot for like $1,000 or
$10,000? Yeah, that made one of the most profit margins ever.
Yeah, you know – It goes to show that good ideas don't have to be these multi-million dollar spectacles.
No.
You know?
And it all comes back to the originality, I think. We need to have some more original stories and plots being made. Because the more you rehash something, the more people aren't going to go see it. At least for me. Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think that...
Do we really need Ride Along 2? No, I don't think so.
Sometimes the sequels that they put out are just like baffling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the original movies, what was it? A few years ago, what was that movie? Gravity. Original movie. That did very well at the box office. Yeah. I remember at the time people were talking about, you know, how original movies can still do well. You know, if
and when's the next one coming out?
Yeah, and what's the next one coming out? Yeah, exactly. They're still trying. I think we need to move away from the tentpole structure where these blockbusters are supposed to hold up the entire industry. And I don't know how we break that habit. I think that Hollywood needs to take a step back and stop being so big-headed of themselves. You know, yeah. They need to take a step back and take a look at what Netflix is doing, at what HBO is doing. They still have their big spectacle TV shows, but they do it at a much smaller budget. There's still ways to do it where they're not blowing $300 million. You know, there's nothing wrong with a gritty real world drama.
No,
you know, I don't know. I don't know how you sell. See, the problem is how do you sell that to people? I don't think it gets enough coverage. I think they're too concerned with appealing to global audiences.
Yeah, you know what else too is these test audiences and marketing.
Yeah,
that's another problem. You know,
you can't
if it doesn't do well in a focus group, man, we got to re-edit the movie.
Man, focus groups don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. How many times have you heard the story about the focus group hated this amazing movie?
You know, the movie is really appealing to 28 to 35-year-olds, but you really need to have it to apply to 18 to 28-year-olds. No, we need to stop that. That's like too much. Yeah. Too much nitpicking.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. So. One of the things, I do want to mention this, though. One of the things being done to try and course correct is this new thing. This new company that started something called Movie Pass, right? This is a subscription you can buy for anywhere from $15 a month to $50 a month, where you can see a certain number of movies a month. If you pay $50 a month, you can see unlimited movies in the theaters every month. And apparently all the major movie theater chains are signed up to this. It works for any 2D movie. Do you think something like this is a step in the right direction, giving people more options where they don't have to be afraid of taking a chance on a low budget drama?
I don't know. I still don't think so, because it sounds to me like the subscription is going to be still way too expensive.
I mean, you think $50 a month?
Yeah, I mean, you would have to be going to the theaters every week for that to pay off, and I don't think people do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think one way that they could innovate is by offering movies digitally same day. You know, I know that'll probably kill movie theaters. Movie theaters will be done with, but I think that's what people want. I don't think people want to leave their houses to consume their entertainment.
Yeah, not when you have Netflix and Hulu Plus and everything you have at home.
As sad as it is to say, everything, all of our entertainment is based around the computer. Whether it's browsing the internet,
it is
going on social media, playing video games, watching TV, watching movies, music now. You know, watching movies is the last thing, is the last holdout.
I think it's time, it's starting to crack.
So do you think the movie industry will ever, because I know a few years ago, Steven Spielberg lamented. He said that, you know, if the tent poles fail, then the film industry will fail. Do you ever foresee a future where the film industry is completely, not completely failed, but is in a state where it's no longer a common American pastime to go to the movie theaters?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I don't think the film industry is going to go down, because I think they'll still find a way to make a profit. Yeah. But I think movie theaters, this could be a troubling storm coming for actual movie theaters.
Yeah. Not anytime in the near future, but I think
that's coming.
It could be if Hollywood doesn't course correct and start coming out with fresh new ideas. You know, Marvel and DC, you guys have had your run. Find the next big thing. You guys, this is the thing. Hollywood took a chance in doing superhero movies before superhero movies were big.
Yeah.
Right,
like before they blew the lid off.
Yeah, doing the first Spider-Man
and Iron Man and Spider-Man.
Doing the first Spider-Man and X-Men back in the early 2000s, that was a risk.
Yeah,
you know, superheroes were not very popular at the time. Find the next thing that could be popular. You know.
Yep. So there you go, a little State of the Union on movies, because a disturbing trend in that recent news report there. Before we wrap up the entertainment entree, I have something completely random, and this is going to,
okay.
I think this pretty much fits the weirdness of the entertainment entree for this week's episode, if you will.
All right. What do you got?
If you notice, I played some Stallone earlier in the show.
Yeah.
We were joking, me and Mike were joking off the air, at some point, about, Stallone, and we mentioned Stallone singing or something.
Oh my God! Yeah,
and I found this. This is Stallone singing from his first movie that he was allowed to direct, called Paradise Alley, which was kind of in the same vein as Rocky, except like it was more about professional wrestling.
So wait, the first movie he's ever allowed to direct, and he decides I want to sing.
Yeah, I need to sing on it.
Okay, so Stallone is barely understandable just speaking normally.
Yes. And
so he's going to sing.
Yes.
What genre?
I think you should just listen to it.
Okay.
Because I don't know what to make of this. So, Mike, so to put it all in a nutshell, we made a joke about Stallone away from the microphones.
Right.
And Mike said he never heard Stallone sing before. And alas, here you go, folks. This is Mike's reaction to Stallone singing the song Too Close to Paradise off of the movie Paradise Alley. Please, everyone, enjoy.
My God, those sustains were something else, man. You sounded like somebody was like squeezing a frog or something. I'll give him this, man. He really gave it his all. I didn't understand a single word. I heard too close. That's it. He said he kept saying too close over and over again.
Too close.
I don't know. Yeah. Was that like part of the movie soundtrack?
It was part of the soundtrack. Yeah. This was, I think it runs over the titles or something.
Oh my God. That was really bad. Did they just not have enough money to pay a singer? They couldn't get some.
It's probably one of those movies that they just, you know, chunked, you know, like. $75,000 Stallone's way. Here, make the film. Go ahead.
Here, make the film.
Have fun.
He's going to direct, star, write in, sing. Oh, man. That was... I mean, he really tried. But sometimes effort...
I just love it.
It's not a substitute for talent.
Yeah. You're right. It's all those, like, sustained notes.
Yeah. Because, like... So every note he sang was, like, really, like, gruff and angry, but the sustains he had to growl them, because I feel like he couldn't get enough power in his voice, so he had to like you could tell he was like really straining to get those notes out. The man can barely talk.
Well, man, Stallone, he wears many hats. He sings, he fights, he gives inspirational speeches to Russians.
Yes.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. But if I can change, you can change. Everybody can change.
What can't?
What is he even trying to say? I've seen a lot of changing. What does that mean? I seen a lot of changing.
He's trying to be inspirational.
The 80s were a special time,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes, they were. The answer is cocaine.
The answer is cocaine. I seen a lot of changing. Because of the cocaine.
So I had to bring that to Mike's attention. He never heard great. He never heard Stallone sing.
And that was the last time a movie studio let him near a microphone, right?
Yeah. You can do whatever you want from here on out, but you're not singing anymore.
No more singing.
Yeah.
Completely changed the plot of Rocky 2.
Yeah, he was gonna.
He originally had like a long solo in there, you know?
Hey, Apollo, you wanna get together on this duet?
They're gonna go sing karaoke? Oh my God.
So, yeah, there you go. I had to bring that to Mike's attention. He never heard Stallone sing.
Could you imagine if he...
And probably like, most of you. I bet you most of you guys never heard Stallone sing.
Could you imagine if he sang like a cover of like Eye of the Tiger?
Eye of the Tiger! It's a thrill of the fight!
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
it ain't no Sinatra.
No.
So there you go. I had to bring that to Mike's attention. I think that was a good weird clip to officially end one of the weirdest entertainment entrees I think we've ever done.
Yeah, it was very strange between Alex Jones and Sylvester Stallone singing.
Yeah.
But the weirdness is just the right amount because, as you know, after the break, we have the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News coming up.
That's right. And I have a couple of weird stories that you need to hear that actually happened over the Labor Day weekend. So,
oh boy, whenever there's a holiday.
Yeah, weird stuff is bound to happen.
That's right.
So don't go anywhere. Yeah, the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News will be hitting you when we return. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A woman who took donated clothes from a relative found $30,000 inside one of the hand-me-downs.
Wow. I never find that type of stuff in my pockets.
In the bag was cash that had been stuffed into envelopes and wrapped in layers of plastic bags. Carol told PhillyBurbs.com, I unwrapped the bag, and there was another bag in another bag in another bag. And that's where she found $30,000.
Wow.
That's like a bag within a bag? Yeah. Within another bag?
You know what that means. Bagception.
Bagception.
I just want to point out, that is incredible security.
Yes.
The more bags you have, the more bag, secure it is.
Yeah, this is at least three layers of bags we're talking about.
I don't know how.
We're going three bags deep into this operation. And then on top of that, if you lose it, then you're in limb bag.
Oh, man. So, a bag within a bag.
Three bags deep, man. We're serious.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh my god. I gotta hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
Oh yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. What a weird show so far. We had some interesting topics in the sports sampler. And then, of course, the entertainment entree crash by Alex Jones and Sylvester Stallone.
Gotta have some Alex Jones in the entertainment entree for some reason.
Because it's just every week, it's just something new with him. It's just definitely...
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I think that's
the gift that keeps on giving.
I think that's the best way to explain the craziness that is Alex Jones.
Definitely.
Every week, there's something new that comes...
Definitely.
From him.
Definitely.
Just like our next segment, isn't that right?
That's right. You know, the craziness never ends here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, especially in this, our final segment of the show. But it's one of my favorites. It's time for the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah, time for some odd news.
And that was Alex Jones again right
there. Yeah, right,
Alex Jones. With the primal rage scream.
That's right.
I feel like he should pay us for free advertising.
At this rate, yeah.
You know? But anyway, Alex Jones is weird. The odd news is weird. For those of you that might not be familiar with this segment, it is the non-fortune cookie odd news. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these weird stories, and he keeps them hidden away from me, so I've never seen them before. So all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't even... I can't talk anymore. I made it through the whole spiel without messing up. Even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories take us on wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to dive into the stories.
Yeah, you're ready for some odd news stories. That's what it is. You're so excited.
Exactly. I was so ready. I was stumbling over my words. I just wanted to get through it to get to the stories. So I'm ready to go now. What do you got for us first up?
All right. Let's dive right in. This one is... The first story is Louisiana.
All right. Louisiana.
Yep.
The great L of the United States.
Well, you know, we're both video gamers.
Yeah, yeah.
And this might be an interesting purchase the next time you're at GameStop.
Okay.
Because Louisiana police said that an 11-year-old who bought a pre-owned video game from his local GameStop found something more addictive than the Skyrim he was expecting.
Uh-oh.
He also found a little baggie of meth.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
There you go. Nice little bonus.
Hey, you know, they keep on creating stranger and stranger pre-order bonuses.
Yeah.
You know, they used to just give out downloadable content. Now they're giving meth away if you pre-order games. I mean, how desperate do these game companies have to be? You guys.
They don't want to become the next movie theater problem.
No, they don't. They don't. So, you know, Halo's going to be like, you know, Halo 6, if you pre-order, you get a free shot of heroin, you know?
Woo! Oh. It'll help you get through the game.
It'll help you get through the game, exactly.
Actually, it should be cocaine.
Yeah, no, cocaine. Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
That'll help you get through those all-nighters.
Yeah, you get cocaine with the really big games like Skyrim.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't cocaine this time, it was meth.
This one was meth.
Does meth make you go crazy? I don't remember.
I think they all do, eventually.
Okay.
The 11-year-old's father said that the boy bought the game at the GameStop store in Lake Charles.
Also, hold on. GameStop should not have sold that to him because that game is rated M for mature.
Oh.
And he was 11 years old.
Is it? Is Skyrim mature?
It is mature.
Oh.
You go around killing entire towns of people. How is it not mature?
It's bad.
That GameStop employee, he should be fired. Not for the meth. That's normal. But sucked.
Not for the meth.
That but you can't sell a mature game to an 11-year-old. That fucking sucked. As gamers, we have to be more responsible. We can't let kids play games with violence in them. The meth is fine, though.
The meth is okay. The father said that the boy discovered a baggie contained an unknown substance. The father said he contacted the store and the police, who then took custody of the baggie. The Calcasieu Parish Sheriff's Office said that the substance inside the bag was tested by police and was confirmed to be methamphetamine.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
The manager at the GameStop, Dustin Veros, said that the case would not have been opened for inspection if it was shipped from another store. The director of...
I don't know. That doesn't seem right.
You're calling BS on this?
I'm calling BS. Like, oh, we don't check our games to make sure there's games in the case. It's like, what? He said it was a pre-owned game, right?
Yeah.
That means it's already been opened. Why wouldn't you check that? Are you stupid or something?
The director.
So you mean if I work at a GameStop, I could ship boxes with nothing in them to other GameStops and just take the game myself?
Maybe this was an elaborate drug ring.
It probably was.
Like, oh yeah, go to this particular GameStop store and buy Skyrim.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it
Interesting.
Was. That manager knew what was going on. That's BS.
This is
check the game cases.
This is a whole conspiracy.
It is.
We're thinking like Alex Jones.
This is what happens. You listen to a little bit of Alex Jones, and all of a sudden, your mind turns dark. And it starts swirling around with all these conspiracy theories. Everything is suspicious. That I don't like.
Our intelligence is at a higher level.
Let out your primal scream.
Director of PR for GameStop, Joey Mooring, said that games are opened and checked for quality when they are returned or traded by customers. The games are then checked again before they are sent to other stores, but they are not examined again when they arrive at the store.
Yeah, doesn't that seem like not true?
Yeah.
Check them when they get the game, they check them before they send it to the store, why wouldn't the store getting the game
check
to make sure they actually have
the game?
The game that was supposed to be sent to them.
Because they're not, like, sealed. They're not resealed.
No, they're not resealed.
Yeah, so why wouldn't they open up the game to make sure the game's inside?
That's why it's suspicious.
Yeah.
That's why it's suspicious to me.
Investigators also confirmed that GameStop does not have a method for tracking games' origins.
Also sounds a little false. How is GameStop still in business? We don't check the games. We have no system to check where they came from. And we are actively putting meth in them.
Yeah, is GameStop a secret drug supplier?
I would not be surprised.
I think maybe that's how they're staying in business.
That is how. Well, you know, digital is cutting into their profits. They got to find something else.
There you go. Meth. Free meth.
It's these damn special editions that the companies keep coming out with.
Yeah, man. It's a new product.
It's a new product. You know, they have the regular edition, then they have the special edition.
With meth.
With meth. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. You know how they have the bullet points on the back of the box? Like, immersive action. First person shooting.
Meth.
Meth. Like, 3 exclamation points.
Free baggie of meth. I also love how they're coined baggy.
Baggy.
Like, it just sounds like a stupid term for a drug dealer to use.
Well, what else would you call it? It's a tiny bag.
I don't know. Tiny bag. I'd rather have that than baggy. That just sounds weird.
Baggy.
Free baggy. It sounds like something a kid would use. Like, oh, look at the baggy.
Okay. Look at the baggy. Oh, yeah.
I like meth now.
Because it comes in a small bag.
Yeah.
Yay.
It has a happy face on it.
So what you're saying is drug dealers are adults. They should use grown-up bags.
Yeah, they should have grown-up
regular, like, sandwich bags, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right? Put your sandwich and then your meth in it.
That's right. Or your sandwich made of meth.
There you go. Side by side. Works.
Side by side, yeah.
You have everything organized during your lunch break.
It's perfect.
That's how you get through the workday.
You have your turkey sandwich, you have your meth, you're good to go.
Right next to your Coke? Yeah,
right
there you go.
Yeah, right. Now, is the Coke the Coca-Cola Coke or the other Coke?
It's up to you.
It's up to you. It could be both.
It's America.
Damn right it's America.
Yeah, so there you go. True story here in Louisiana. Apparently,
I'm calling BS on that GameStop.
Well, yeah.
That manager's in on it.
Yeah.
Investigate that guy. They don't check the games. They have no system of telling where the game came from. That's bull crap.
Yeah, there you go. Good save.
Thank you.
But, yeah. I don't. Maybe GameStop is a secret drug cartel. Who knew?
I believe it.
That's how they're staying in business. It wouldn't surprise me. There you go.
Yeah, I'm still amazed that they're around, so they have to be doing something.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
Going to Massachusetts in this one. And this is just a weird one to imagine.
It always surprises me when there's an odd news story from, like, the New England area, because you always imagine they're a little bit more proper, you know?
Well, they're not immune to odd news stories.
Okay.
And this is a case of one of those. Because police in Massachusetts have arrested a man on the island of Martha's Vineyard.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very upscale.
Yeah, very upscale. But this man on the island decided to break into a house, steal a vehicle, and then paint a dog purple.
Why? Wait, in that order? He broke into the house, stole the vehicle, stopped, got out, and painted the dog purple. Also, why did he have paint with him? Did he bring the paint to the heist with him?
Police said that a man was sought in the theft of a vehicle on Saturday, which was found crashed. Minutes later, they received a report of a break-in at a residence in which a window was forced in, items were taken and a dog was painted with purple paint.
Is that like his signature?
Like, I'm the dog painter.
I'm your pet. Ooh. I'm the pet painter.
The pet painter, yes. Yeah, why didn't I think of this? I love alliteration. Why didn't I think of the pet painter?
The pet painter.
Oh, yeah.
You'll never catch me, Batman.
It does sound like a really bad Batman villain, doesn't yeah. it? I'm going to paint all the town's pets.
An obnoxious color.
Yes.
They're going to be bright orange.
Bright pink.
Hot bright pink.
Neon blue.
The suspect, Felix Reagan, was allegedly found peering into a window of nearby homes when he was taken into custody. He also managed to take a couple of prescription pills when he was getting arrested. Which, what the
what?
Hell? How the hell? Did you, come on, guys.
How
get
did he
both
manage
of the
that?
Hands.
Yeah.
I guess he saw the police coming. He was like, oh, I better chug it.
He just swallowed all the pills he yeah. could.
Chug, chug, chug.
Chug, chug. Boy, man, if you're chugging pills, you got problems.
Yeah. They also found a stolen driver's license and stolen credit cards on his possession.
Okay.
They also found the inside of his paint, or the inside of his pants had purple paint.
A lot of peas there.
Purple painted penis.
and that the purple paint was consistent with the paint found on the dog.
Oh, they caught him purple handed.
Yeah, they caught him purple handed.
Or purple pantsed.
Not red handed. This is purple.
So
sounds like a weird Joker. You yeah. know? Like, he's not quite as intimidating as like Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
He's more of Cesar Romero's Joker.
Hey, he's not going to blow you up. He's just going to paint you purple.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, he's not that big of a villain.
Yeah, he's the Joker that does the surfing competition.
He's more, instead of a super villain, he's more of like a super nuisance.
Yeah.
You know? They don't take them to Arkham.
I paint one dog, and everyone loses their minds!
Yeah. Kill a bunch of people, and nobody bats an eye. You paint one dog! Everybody goes crazy. But he brought the paint with him. They found paint in the yeah. inside of his pants were colored purple.
Right.
So he brought the paint with him. Like, he went out and he happened to have purple paint on his person.
Yeah. So yeah.
Before
he
went on his crime spree.
So I guess he really likes purple. I don't know.
Does nobody find that odd?
He loves
purple.
Did
he just bring
paint.
A can of purple? Did he like a like wear it on his belt like yeah. a like an accessory?
Wherever
a can of purple paint? Wherever
never,
he goes. You
never know when I'm going to have to run into a pet and paint it purple.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, damn, another pet. Let me get the paintbrush out. Like, it's mandatory now or something? It's like his OCD?
Yeah, that's his calling card. He's the pet painter.
He just goes to, like, the ASPCA and just, like, paints all the pets purple.
I'm ready to do to my painting today.
He's a serial painter. The serial painter has struck again in Martha's Vineyard.
Two additional reports of break-ins were also reported in the neighborhood that were also believed to have been caused by Reagan.
Did he paint other people's pets?
Apparently there were no pets, so we can't deduce whether or not this is a common thing. Unfortunately, though, while he was being transported to the police station, Reagan also kicked a police officer twice.
Oh, not good.
Yeah, that's not good. And also kicked the windows of one of the police vehicles out.
Also not good.
Yeah. Because of that, this is his full list of charges. It's pretty long, actually. He's going to get charged with breaking and entering.
Of course.
Theft of a motor vehicle.
Okay.
Destruction of property. Animal cruelty.
Yeah.
The pets don't want it.
Well, the pet could have ran away. I'm just saying. The dog was like, okay, sure, why not?
Sure, I guess I like purple.
I guess I like purple now.
Halloween's coming up, you know, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Costume. Just need a splash of orange and I'm ready to go.
Possession of controlled substances, the prescription pills.
Okay.
And then assault and battery on a police officer. So wow. He's got a long list of charges coming his way.
Man, he really...
Yeah, he did some damage.
Yeah, he really checked a lot off the list there,
right.
Didn't he?
It doesn't sound like he did a whole lot, but yeah, he broke into houses, he stole vehicles, he painted dogs purple, he kicked police officers. Yeah, pretty serious stuff he did.
Well, he won't be painting many dogs from prison.
No. Maybe the prisoners he can paint purple.
I don't know if that will go over as well as the dog.
Probably not. All right.
Somebody drops the soap and he, like, whips a paintbrush out.
God, paint! Oh my God, I've been painted!
That's bad. I just made a prison rape joke, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good fantastic.
Good job, Mike.
That fucking sucked. Oh.
All right. Ready for our next stories here?
Yeah.
Actually, the rest of these stories are all Florida stories. I don't know how
it
happened.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I got four Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
You know, it was a three-day weekend.
Yeah, when other states, you know, take a break from the odd news for Labor Day,
no.
Florida keeps it going.
They're very hardworking people in Florida. Odd news does not rest, Rich.
Not in Florida.
No. Not in Florida.
This first one, though, is a short story, and just one of those you can't believe somebody was dumb enough to do this. A man in Florida was caught and arrested after he used his own wanted poster as his official Facebook profile picture.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that's just so stupid. Like, we've had stories before where somebody takes a picture after they commit their crime, but, like, his actual wanted poster? Come on. You're just begging to be captured.
Yeah, you're not going to last very long.
Oh, boy.
Stewart Police tweeted a capture of Mac Yearwoody.
Mac Yearwoody?
What a name.
Is that... How many names is that? Is that Mac?
Mac is the first name.
Right.
Mac.
And
then the last name is Yearwoody.
Oh, that's all one name.
That's all one name.
Yearwoody. That's a very strange name.
Yeah. That's another thing, too.
Yearwoody.
If you have a really weird name, don't be a criminal.
No, it just makes it easier to find
you. Yeah, I'm going to remember this name.
Now, if your name is John Smith, commit all the crime you want.
Yeah.
But Yearwoody? No.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there's many Yearwoodies.
Right. The screen capture has Mac Yearwoody's Facebook picture featuring his Wanted of the Week poster.
Oh, my God.
Stewart police used the photo to identify Yearwoody as a suspect in a reported disturbance and then was arrested on outstanding warrants.
I want to know what's going through his mind. He's like, oh man, I'm so cool. I'm such a badass. Yeah.
He's so cool, man.
Oh,
man,
I'm a wanted criminal.
Yeah.
What is he hoping? Like, who's he trying to impress? His Facebook friends? Like what? You know, like the people he dropped out of high school with?
He wanted to put it on his Tinder profile.
His Tinder profile. Oh, yeah. What a catch.
Yeah.
He's wanted by so many.
Exactly.
Oh.
If you want.
I'm in high demand.
Right. You know? I'm in high demand. Yeah. So you want me, you better swipe right.
Oh, my God.
Police located Yearwoody on Tuesday. When he was arrested, a bag of pot fell from his pants as he was being handcuffed.
Of course. That does not surprise me.
So now he's going to be arrested for violating a warrant, two counts of battery. I guess that was the original crime he did. And now an additional charge of possession of marijuana. So, yeah, another one that you didn't think.
He basically put out an ad for his arrest, though. He's right. Like, I'm wanted. Here I am.
Get me on Facebook.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Facebook should add, you know how they have like and they have the emotions now? They should add a button for like arrest.
Call 911.
Yeah, like let criminals know. Like,
yeah. Like, love, haha, call 911.
Call 911, yeah. Oh, man. How dumb do you have to be?
Yeah.
You have to be a special type of dumb. You're a criminal, all right? You have a wanted poster, and you put it on your public profile as your profile picture. It's just a recipe for disaster. You think the cops don't check social media?
Do cops have social media?
No, apparently
people
they don't.
Hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yep. I love stupidity stories, man.
Oh, definitely. So, tell me, is the next person in the odd news any brighter?
Well, it's another Florida story for
so
you here.
No.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Does the IQ of anyone in Florida reach above 70?
I don't know.
Or does it just stay?
This person probably doesn't.
Okay. I just defended an entire state.
Who cares? It's Florida.
Who cares? It's Florida.
Sorry, people who live in Florida. I can't help it. Every week, you guys have at least two or three stories that
it's
come
insane.
From your state.
It's we've only had like maybe one episode that I know of where we didn't have a Florida story.
Yeah,
and like the weeks that we take off, we don't know because we don't do the odd news.
There's always stories from Florida.
All right, so the second Florida story.
Yeah, boy, man, this is an interesting one. Because I've never really read a story like this one before.
You've done a lot of odd news.
Yeah.
So this is a first.
A 51-year-old Palm Bay, Florida woman was arrested after she repeatedly called 911 because she wanted to thank the county sheriff, Jack Parker, for a very tasty bologna sandwich that was provided at jail.
What? Why? I don't understand.
Mike almost had a seizure. He started flailing
because it's so stupid.
I thought you were gonna knock the microphone.
I know.
That was great.
I like freaked out. I don't understand. Why do you call 911 repeatedly? You said
yes.
She called repeatedly.
Yes.
So the first time it doesn't work.
No.
You figure, well, maybe I'll get a different operator. The second time it doesn't work. You think, maybe I just have really bad luck. I'll try the... What is this? You're playing phone tag with the police?
Oh, how innocent. Oh, yeah. I'm away. Jesus, yeah, never works out.
We could just... I know. It's always... We're so busy. It's hard to connect. Yeah.
Christine Lee Brown was charged with misuse of 911 communications after dispatchers alerted the police to over five calls placed on Saturday.
The police have a regular phone number.
Yeah.
you don't have to call 911.
Yeah. I got a small sample of it. Do you want to listen to...
You do?
Yeah. They released a little bit of it.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready
please?
To hear Christine Lee Brown, her gratitude?
She's thanking them for a bologna sandwich, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you go. Let's listen in to a little bit of the audio.
911.
I need to stop setting fire.
You need to stop calling 911 unless you have an emergency. Do you understand that?
Tell me, have we sunk your sailors in Washington, D.C.?
Goodbye. Stop calling 911.
911.
The last time I was arrested, the sheriff gave me his bologna sandwich.
Ma'am, do you have an emergency? Ma'am, do you have an emergency?
I remember that. Tell him I remember that.
What is your name? Do you have an emergency right now?
No, I'm not on fire yet. Okay. I remember what he gave me to eat.
All right. Do not call 911 unless it's an emergency. I'm disconnecting
okay,
this line.
Okay, you tell him.
All right.
Ma'am, do you have an emergency?
Do you have cooking facilities at the jail complex?
Do you have an emergency?
No, I just came from the jail complex. I'm just wondering if you have cooking facilities at the jail complex. I might save you a whole big bag of money. Maybe you should get a broken stove.
Maybe you should stop calling 911 when you don't have an emergency.
Maybe you should get a couple of broken stoves.
Okay, if you don't have an emergency, I'm ending this call. Goodbye.
911.
I called 211, but they're stupid.
Why are you still calling 911?
Because they're stupid.
Okay, don't call 911 unless it's an emergency, all right? We've had numerous calls from you today. And then when we go there, you don't answer the phone.
Listen to 211 stupid.
Okay, why don't you just stay on the phone with me then?
All right.
Sure, what do you want to talk about? I'm 911.
Oh, my God. And there you go. Actual audio.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm legitimately crying. I couldn't, like, by the fourth or fifth call, I couldn't take it anymore. I just started dying laughing there. She asked if
they had cooking facilities.
Yeah, she's very curious.
Why?
Very curious about the cooking facilities.
Oh my god.
Also,
that was so much better than the story makes it out to be.
Also, she also mentioned that she tried to dial 211, but that was stupid.
They're stupid.
By the way, does that mean she talked to somebody on 211?
I don't know.
Does 211 give you a number? What does that go to?
211?
211.
Oh my god.
You only get half the services of 411. We'll give you half the number if you call 211.
Oh my god.
We'll give you 5 of the digits.
Yeah. After that, you're on your own.
Oh my god. Oh, I have to compose myself.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, the audio says it all. She was so out of it. And those, god, you got to respect those 911 operators.
Yeah.
They're just toughing it out, you know, just constantly telling her, you can't call 911, you can't call 911. And she keeps coming back with, you got to get cooking facilities. Yeah, what did she say? You got to buy a stove?
Yeah, buy a crooked stove or something.
And boil your own rice?
Yeah.
When she said
very
that,
adamant.
I was done.
Don't you order rice. You can boil it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, my god. I almost fell out of my chair. Oh.
Well,
I can't even, that was so much better. The story was like, oh, she called 5 times to talk about a bologna sandwich. But the audio was like 10 times better. The story downplayed it. You know, the story downplayed the severity of this. It was amazing. That was truly a special thing to behold.
Brown is in jail on a $3,000 bond, so...
Do they have cooking facilities?
I hope
there?
So. She'll find out.
She's got to make her rice.
Right, she's got to make her... And the bologna sandwiches.
The bologna sandwiches.
She needs those tasty bologna sandwiches.
I bet that sheriff is so regretting giving her a bologna sandwich.
Yeah, why?
He's like, damn it, if I had just let her starve!
We never would have had this.
Also, she was very hard to understand.
Yeah, I think she's definitely on drugs or something.
Oh, yeah. I can tell because she said, the last time I was arrested.
Those bologna sandwiches were very good.
Yeah, she's been through this before.
She's going to make a Yelp review.
The county jail has really good bologna sandwiches. But 211 is stupid.
1 star.
Yeah. I'm still not sure about their cooking facilities, although I heard that they do boil their own rice. 1 star.
1 star.
Review update. They don't have cooking facilities.
No stars.
No stars.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how you top that one, Rich. I got to be honest.
Know. I don't know. But let me go to...
I can't get over it. She's just so weird.
Every once in a while, you know, we've been doing this 170-some episodes, but every once in a while... You get that special story that just comes completely out of left field. And
sticks with you.
Yeah, it just sticks with you. The bologna sandwich lady. I'm going to remember this one.
There you go. Let me go to this next Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And this theme is an oldie but a goodie one.
All right, what do you got?
You're used to this. A registered sex offender was arrested Wednesday night after he chased a man in a dispute over a woman by wielding a sword at her ex-boyfriend.
Of course. It's Florida, so it's got to be a sword.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I feel like there should be, like, you know how you sometimes have to, like, do special things to get, like, a gun license? You should have to get a sword license.
Yeah.
And if you're a sex offender, you should not be able to get a sword.
According to an arrest affidavit, Stacy Canada told the sheriff's deputies he was helping someone install a water heater at a home when Mark Sequoia pulled up with his new girlfriend, Terry Moat. Canada said that he used to date Moat and Sequoia was currently dating her, which he said believed resulted in Sequoia getting angry at him. I don't know why you're not dating anymore. Get over it.
It's done.
Yeah, it's done. It's over. Canada added, Sequoia then chased him around the house with the sword.
So, wait, hold on. Back up. Who was fixing the water heater?
The victim, Sequoia.
Sequoia. And the other guy pulls up with his former girlfriend?
Yeah.
What were they doing together?
We're patrolling the town.
But I'm so confused. Wait, so the guy with the sword is driving around with his ex-girlfriend.
They are dating.
Oh, they are dating.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy fixing the water heater
is the ex-boyfriend. Right.
So the guy and the girlfriend go there to intentionally mock the ex-boyfriend?
I guess, and it turns out he's got a sword with him.
So the guy fixing the water heater had a sword with him?
No. The guy with the guy fixing the water heater is
he's just like,
right. He's just fixing the water heater.
He's just fixing the water heater. So this guy with his girlfriend came up and attacked him with a sword for no reason.
Yes. Other than the fact that he used to date his current girlfriend.
But he's already dating her. Yes. You don't need to kill the former boyfriend. Right. You already have the girl. Yeah. That's where the movie ends.
Yeah, the movie ends here.
You get the girl, the movie ends, credit rolls, live happily ever after in your weird Florida community. This is the awkward straight-to-home video sequel where he goes after the ex-boyfriend with a sword.
This is a forced plot point.
This really is, yeah. Yes, it is.
Neighbors saw Canada chasing Sequoia with the sword around the
house. Also, these names are ridiculous. Yeah. Canada and Sequoia, one's a tree, the other's a country.
Yeah. Then Canada used the sword to cut the bed liner of his truck. So now he's doing some damage.
Yeah.
Canada continued to run on foot. And then apparently he tried to run Sequoia over with the truck.
Wow. Oh, man.
This boy, you feel a little threatened by the ex-boyfriend?
Jeez. Yeah, really? Boy, somebody has some insecurities to work through, don't you think?
Yeah. Deputies eventually found the two on County Road 42.
they took the fight to the road?
Yeah. Canada was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released from jail on a $4,000 bond. So, there you go. It's just, what the hell?
Hey, honey, you want to go beat up your ex-boyfriend with a sword? Sure! Like, is that their idea of a date?
Yeah,
is that their first date?
This is romantic.
So romantic.
We need to tie up all loose ends.
Yeah! Well, honey, I'm so glad you decided to go out with me, but first there's something we gotta take care of. Shing! He pulls out his sword.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from? I always come prepared. This is Florida.
Yeah, this is Florida. You never know what's going to happen.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I got one more Florida story for you to end this wonderful segment here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I love this story.
All right, what do you got?
Police are looking for a suspect who robbed at gunpoint a pizza delivery man and stole his money, pizza, and Mountain Dew.
Oh, no. Not the Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Oh, God forbid. Yeah.
It's irreplaceable.
The suspect then took all of the things and offered pieces of pizza to strangers.
So he's like Robin Hood.
Yeah, right? He's like Robin Hood.
That's great.
He's like the Robin Hood of stolen pizzas.
He takes pizza from the wealthy. Oh, my God. What is this music?
I must feed the hungry.
Yes.
And commit crimes.
Yes. Just take pizza from the wealthy and give it to the poor.
Yes.
Feed those who are hungry.
It is my noble duty.
Yes, of course. Oh my God, this music is so majestic.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's the theme from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes.
So here's the play-by-play here.
Okay.
The victim, Seth Rath, told police that shortly after Sunday night, he was making deliveries when he was walking to his car and he was approached by an unknown man who was pointing a Utsi at him.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Robin Hood's upgraded over the years.
Yeah.
Bow and arrow to Uzi.
Why does the Florida man from the previous story have a sword, but the Robin Hood has an Uzi?
I don't know.
What the hell's going on in Florida?
Oh, my gosh. Whatever happened to normal weapons?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to a switchblade and a handgun?
Whatever happened to bow and arrow?
Bow and arrow.
If this is Robin Hood, why doesn't
he have
a bow and arrow?
We've never had a bow and arrow in the Odd News.
Yeah, not so far.
We've had hammers. We've had swords. We've had chainsaws.
Uzis.
We've had everything. I think we've even had AK-47s.
We've had
missiles.
We had missiles.
We had grenades. We've had everything.
Yeah, but not a bow and arrow.
Not a bow and arrow.
Wow.
Florida, get on that.
Anyway, the suspect told Seth Rath, quote, "Give me all your money, pizza, and Mountain Dew. Just do that, and you ain't gonna die." See, he's very honorable.
He's very honorable, yeah.
He ain't gonna die.
He doesn't want to kill him. He only wants to take the pizza and give it to the poor.
He's a man of honor.
He's an upstanding citizen.
Rath then handed over 3 pizza pies, a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, and $20 in cash.
Wow.
Man.
That's a good haul.
Yeah.
It's a good haul.
An eyewitness, 19-year-old Trenton Johnson, said that the unknown man, who was described as clean-shaven,
wearing green tights,
offered him a slice of pizza as he ran by him.
He's running by, he's pulling out pizza.
Here you go, young man.
Take this and know the power of the people.
You need the pizza more than I do. Here you go.
Oh, it's an amazing story.
Yeah,
triumph of the little guy.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
He's doing God's work here.
He really is. He's a modern day Robin Hood. I'm telling you.
Trenton also noted that he wore a purple jacket and jeans.
Okay,
everything purple in this Odd News.
Oh my God, the pet painter has struck again.
This is his night job. By day, he's pet painter. By night,
Robin Hood.
He's the Robin Hood of pizzas.
Yes. Pizza Hood.
Pizza Hood. The great Pizza Hood.
Pizza Hood. Prince of Pepperoni.
So noble. This guy.
How could you not be noble with a subtitle like Prince of Pepperoni? Pizza Hood.
Steal from the rich businesses and
steal from Domino's and give them to the local pizza joints.
Yeah. Steal from Domino's.
Oh,
I hope he's stealing from the chains. They can afford it.
Yeah, the chains definitely. Steal from the chains. Give back to the local places.
Yeah. Anyone with information is asked to call Detective Lizette DeChamps. Apparently, he's the only detective that's on the case. That's it. Florida police is only giving them one detective on this case.
That's it.
I think they kind of like him.
Yeah, I think they want him to keep doing. They want him to keep fighting for the little guy.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So there you go. Hopefully, we hear more of this heroic tale of the Robin Hood of pizza. Prince of Pepperoni.
Prince of Pepperoni. Pizza Hood.
I like it. And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap this episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I needed to burp as soon as you threw it to me. I learned that in Florida, there is a very noble hero of the people.
That's
Pizza
right.
Hood. Pizza Prince Hood. Of Pepperoni. Stealing from the chains, giving to the local pizza joints.
So heroic.
So heroic. That's why they only gave the case to one detective. They secretly want Pizza Hood to keep doing his vigilante work.
Yeah. That's it. Only one person.
That's it, yeah.
I think we've had other agencies that have had more attention devoted to it.
Yeah, they throw all their support behind the pooping cases.
Yeah, right?
But Pizza Hood, you know, they just...
Let him go.
Let him go. He's fine. He's doing God's work, right? But speaking of Robin Hood, I learned this. We've never had a bow and arrow in the Odd News.
I don't think so.
Not that I can recall.
I don't think so. Maybe if we search. But I don't think so.
I don't remember one. Well, we'll have to keep an eye out for future stories with bow and arrows. But you know what always makes an appearance in the odd news are swords.
Yeah,
always.
Everyone's got a sword, apparently.
But this time, it made an appearance in a new way. We learned that taking a sword to attack your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend is the perfect first date in Florida.
Or straight to DVD sequel movie.
Either or, it works for me. Yeah. You know? And Florida, it's very popular right now.
Apparently.
You know what else is really popular in Florida? Bologna sandwiches.
So tasty.
So tasty.
Especially when a deputy makes them.
So tasty that a woman felt the need to call 911 and tell them just how tasty it was.
Yep. Very, very good.
Very.
She's very thankful.
Yeah. I mean, she was very diligent in trying to get a hold of them. You know, that's something a lot of people lack these days. They don't thank people properly.
Yeah.
You know, you don't send thank you notes. You don't say please and thank you. This lady, she was brought up right.
And calls 911.
That's right. That's right. She's just trying to maintain proper etiquette.
Very important.
Very important. You know what else is important is finally catching the purple pet painter.
Yeah.
Who is loose in Massachusetts.
He's on the loose.
Yeah, you can't have him painting pets. God, it's like a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Painting pets purple. Say that three times fast. Oh, boy. And finally, I learned that GameStop is actually a secret drug cartel.
I believe it.
I think so.
I think it makes perfect sense.
Well, you know, the used game market is drying up. You gotta diversify somehow.
Yeah.
And drugs is...
And gamers need drugs to stay up all night.
Gamers need drugs. I know that we used to use Mountain Dew and Slim Jims, but it's just not cutting it anymore.
No, we gotta use cocaine and 8-Balls.
That's right. We need something harder. You cut straight to the chase.
Yep. There you go. Perfect.
It's the special edition when you pre-order at GameStop. It's perfect.
And there you go, folks. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crisp Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
I think that caps off a very unique episode for you this week.
Definitely. I don't know about you, but I'm tired after that baloney lady story, man. That really hit me hard.
That was the highlight, I think.
Oh my gosh. I will remember you, baloney lady.
Yeah, I'm just glad we actually had audio of it. Usually we joke around about, you know,
obtaining audio.
No, this time we actually got audio.
And it was so magnificent. It was glorious.
Yes. So, there you go. I hope you guys have liked this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, @TheCrispyNoodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find our video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get a new episode downloaded for free straight to your phone, tablet, or computer every single Thursday. Just make sure to search, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle. The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yeah,
I'm still thinking about Baloney Lady.
Yeah, that Baloney Lady is sticking with you.
Man, can't get her out of my head.
Well, we also have a SoundCloud page. Maybe that'll help you, Mike.
That'll help, yeah.
Where we have the best of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in terms of mini noodles, which are short bits of the show, around like 2 minutes or so, that are just laugh out loud, hilarious. You got to listen to them. Great promos if you want to get others addicted to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, it's the perfect way to share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm @MikeyCostanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am @RichLiebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and talk to us there.
That's right.
Oh, man, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Lots of fun.
Another great episode in the books.
This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. And enjoy football. This is it.
Yeah, football.
Yeah, football is back. Real football.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Gonna enjoy it. So there you go, folks. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.